All right, that music means that it's time for our Christopher Cross retrospective and SailSportTalk.com, Tuesdays at 9:40. Once again, SailSportTalk.com. Joining me to co-host this segment is our friend Patty Mangan. How are you, Patty?
I'm fine. I'm unplugging a phone.
She's unplugging her phone. It's live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't get more exciting than that. And we are very happy to bring in our guest today. It is Dave Corbin. Dave, give us a little background, because I know that you started off kind of in the Midwest. You came out this way. You got into sailing and climbing. And how did the sail bug hit you?
Well, it was, it was one of those things where I am of a certain size, and my buddy, he really wanted rail meet during a race because I didn't know anything about sailing. And so he gets me out on his Cal 25, and we went racing. And it was fascinating for me, of course, because I took off in San Francisco Bay in my normal climbing mode, which is nylon running shorts and a t-shirt. And I froze lots of parts off. And it was fascinating because it's kind of an engineer sport. It's like, how come this boat moves like this with wind? You know, it's so much fun. And so I started studying it. And then as it turns out, I bought that boat from that guy and started racing against him. And then later got a J35 and moved from cheap little boats, old, cheap, plastic boats into a modern cruising racing boat. And that J35 lasted me for a long time. Let's just say that I am now totally addicted to racing.
Well, let me just throw this in before Patty comes in. I have to ask, what is rail meet?
Oh, rail meet. So meet as in heavy, you're supposed to sit on the rail. So when the wind hits the sails, right, the boat tilts over.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Eagles. You're basically human ballast.
I'm human ballast, exactly. And we call it rail meat. But there are other less nice names for it. But basically, you're just holding the boat down. That's all you're, the whole program.
It's
you don't have to be smart. You just have to sit there, right?
Yeah. No. Well, and you have to be able to, scatter over to the other side and not fall off. Right. Okay.
Oh, that's true. You do have to. Yeah.
You're not
you do have to get
the
back to the high side when they tack. Yeah. So it's usually rail meat ends up bruised.
Yes.
Pretty much, from crawling across the boat.
Right.
But we love them. We love rail meat people. When we need them, we really need them.
One of the things that I do with Dave and many other skippers is find them fresh crew, and based on somebody's sailing experience, I will be honest about, hey, your entry level is at rail meet, and this is where you start, and then you watch and you learn, and you invest in some classes, and you can be racing every Friday night of the summer if you're into it.
Absolutely.
Dave, the first time that I interacted with the yacht club, South Beach Yacht Club, was I showed up to volunteer for race committee, and being from Santa Barbara and being one to enjoy the summertime, I showed up in sandals and whatever, some kind of light, and race committee, there's two parts to it. One that starts the race on the water, and then there's the finish line. And I was, of course, where the entry level is at the finish line.
Yeah.
And I walked up and everybody was like, can we help you? And I was like, oh, I'm here to volunteer. And it was like, they were like, in that?
Yeah.
So I got a brutal lesson as well.
That final finish line work there is on the end of a pier in the wind, in the dark, usually. So it gets chilly out there on the end fast.
Yes. Well, I've graduated.
Yes. All right. So tell us a little bit more about the Rolex Big Boat Series. As you said, you kind of kept graduating to bigger and bigger and sort of more prestigious competitions.
So what happens every year, Rolex has sponsored a big regatta in September. It's hosted by St. Francis Yacht Club and Rolex and Mount Gay Rum and other local marine sponsors, that kind of thing. It's a 4-day regatta. So there's two races on Thursday, two races on Friday, two races on Saturday, and then the one final race on Sunday. And it usually ends up with a bunch of videos that we all stand around, after the race, after the series, win our prizes and all that stuff, and watch the videos, which is usually a highlight reel of all the crashes and crazy things that went on during the race. But what we do is we kind of, all of us, serious, aggressive, addicted racers do tend to plan around the big boat series. It partly because the parties are good and partly because the racing is just tremendous. It's out in the main bay, and the wind usually blows pretty damn hard, and we just have a really great time. So everything that we do from a one design fleet or from any of our fleets is sort of through the summer sort of build up to that point. And we hosted a regatta this weekend, this past weekend, the J-Stop one design regatta, which had two fleets, the J-105s and the J-88s. And that is the beginning of our monthly 2-day regatta progress that leads up to the big boat. And that's where we're basically getting our team together, sorting out which is rail meat and which are real sailors, that kind of thing. So that's the big boat is the ultimate competition, and we have all of our lead up events coming up to that, all around the bay.
Yeah, it's a real indication of the end, nearly end of the summer for racing. So the J boat itself, it comes in all these various lengths and designed for various reasons. But mostly when you hear about J boat regattas, they're racing, or serious racing. And that's nationally, right?
Yeah, most of these, so we call it one design racing because there's a set of rules that we all have to follow for each boat. For my boat is a J88, so it's 8.8 meters, and the J105s is 10.5 meters, right? So 10.5 meters is about 35, 34 and a half feet or whatever. And my boat is a 29 and a half feet, whatever. But they're all designed with the same hull and the same rig, and we have all these rules to keep all the competition to be again between teams on the boat rather than spending more money on a fancy sail or something like that. So that kind of constrains the boats so that we're all basically the same speed. And when we're basically the same speed, then you get 20 boats on the line at the starting line, and they're all side by side and all packed together, and the teams have to work very hard to best a different team, So to be more or less, these one design races all around the world the winners tend to be the ones that make the fewest mistakes, right? Somewhere on the race course. If you make less mistakes than the other guy, you do well. And so this past weekend, our one design races were J-105s and J-88s. J Boats themselves, the company, has been building boats for a very long time. One of the biggest, most adopted boat was the J-24, the 24-foot boat. And it was one of the first ones, and there are, many, many, many hundreds of them made. The 105s, there's, maybe 200 made. All the ones in between, there's just been many. They switched to meters when they ran out of numbers, so of regular feet. They had a 34 and a 35 and a 36 and a, they had all of these different, and then they switched to meter measurements after that. And I don't know what they're going to do. They might be switched back. Who knows? But the J Boats has been around a long time and has really fostered the one design style racing, putting together national and international organizations where you follow this one set of rules for what you can do to the boat, whether you modify it or which kind of sails you get. The sails all have to be the same size, for instance, all that kind of thing. So the J boats has been around a long time, and it's truly exciting racing. It's really, really fun.
Last question for you. Can you share, just like in a minute, your greatest moment of boating peril?
Peril. Oh, well, so I was on a J111 as a crew member, and I had a hold of the spinnaker sheets, flying the spinnaker, and I had a hold of the jib sheet as we were making a maneuver around the mark. And the boat, we call it wipe out. It gets overpowered and it lays down on its side. And put my foot on the boat where it usually is, and the boat wasn't there. And I flew across the boat. I saw the winch coming at me and realized, oh, that's going to hurt. And then I missed the winch. I hit actually Karina, and then I went overboard. And I was under the water. I heard that noise that Jacques Cousteau used to have, where when they drop under the water, you hear that. Boo-boo-boo. I heard that noise and I thought, I'm underwater. And then when I popped up, it turns out I had a hold of the lifeline and but hanging overboard, and it was, I thought about, well, should I let go? I don't know. But my lizard brain said, nope, hang on. And so I stayed on, and eventually they got the boat under control and pulled me back aboard, and I went off with, I don't know, 35 pounds of water in my underwear. So
there he is, South Beach Yacht Club Rear Commodore Dave Corbin says, always use your lizard brain when you're out on the water. I want to remind everyone that this segment was brought to you by Grays Harbor Historical Seaport, the Port of Seattle in the state of Washington. Fly into Seattle International Airport on your next trip and visit the Port of Seattle and her historic seaports. Dave Corbin, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you very much. It was fun. I got more stories.
Okay. We'll have you back.
Bye-bye.
All right, Patty, and we'll check in with you next week. Good to hear from you.
Great to talk to you.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Open lines 1-800-878-PLAY.